The Latin Lover, a pocket dictionary of the language of the Catholic Church, compiled by the Pope's own Latinist, Carmelite Father Reginald Foster.
Well, hello there. I'm Veronica Scaresbrick, and I'm delighted to be back again with Father Reginald Foster, who today is going to speak about work. Do you actually do? I know that you work at the Secretariat of State, and you translate.
Well, that's broken down into language groups. In the old days, they used to have an office for letters to princes, briefs to kings and princes.
How do you say that in Latin?
Epistularum ad principes, brevium ad reges. Well, that was all done away with in 1968.
So who was Pope then, 1968, Paul VI?
Well, yeah, certainly. So what we ended up with was the Latin language department of the Secretariat of State. So we are on an equal par, let's say, with Portuguese or German or English or Italian.
How can that possibly be?
I know, but that's the way it is.
Latin is
super
above pares.
It should be above pares, but it's practically not.
What does pares actually mean? Above
par means equal.
Equal, on a par.
Parity.
I'd like to describe your work, but before I do that, I think that I'd like to clarify something that I've always been curious about. I read about Latin in general that someone writes in a Ciceronian style or in a Tacitian style. Is that right? How do you write, Father Foster?
Yeah, okay. I write the way I write, and people recognize my style.
So it's a Fosterian style.
Which is Ciceronian Fosterian. Mm. I like Cicero. I read Cicero every day. I like the rhythm of his sentences, the composition of his sentences. And when I write, I put all that stuff into my sentences.
Pius XII, I believe, was the first to encourage modern Latin concepts being included in the language of the church, no?
Oh, yeah.
Is that right? Pius
XII,
we're talking, you know, quite a long way back.
It depends on how old you are. But the fact is, I'm giving my students, you don't believe
this.
Well,
we're talking 1940s, aren't we? 1940s.
Well, of course, he's from 39 to 58. But the fact is, he has a document which I'm giving to my students this year to study and read. The famous Miranda Prorsus about television, radio, and all that.
Yes, but
about
communication.
That's 1957.
But Pius XI wrote one before that. He wrote one on cinema, just on cinema.
Okay, that's true, yes.
He had Vigilante Cura. I did my homework.
Okay, fine. I got a letter to someone.
So Miranda Prorsus, would
Miranda
you mention?
Prorsus.
What does that mean? Miranda
it
is.
It means no, to be marveled at totally.
So Miranda is a woman.
Miranda is to be marveled at.
To be marveled at.
By the way, I could put in parentheses, your audience might know, Amanda, or as they would say in English, Amanda, a woman needing to be loved.
Hmm.
That's Amanda. So Miranda are things needing to be marveled at. 1957. And all that stuff is in there. And tapes and things were moving, rather slowly in those days, but anyway.
Going back to Pope Pius XII, do you think that he felt that times were ripe for a change in terms of adding modern concept to the ancient Latin language?
He said the language of the church, which Latin still was, simply must be able to deal with these new things. But it's, ideas that we see in the newspaper. To realize this existential objective. Got the idea?
Mm-hmm.
It's an English sentence, more or less. We're working hard to realize this existential objective. Well, to put that in Latin, of course, you just have to sit down and say, what in the world are they talking about? These are concepts I'm talking about. Mm-hmm. That's hard to do.
So
I can do it.
How do you translate that?
I can do it. Studere debemus ut hoc propositum vitae consequamur.
Can you break that down in English?
Okay, we should strive that we attain this ideal of life. And when you come down to it, this, you know, existential business means an ideal of life. We can do that, but that slows us down. Translating the newspapers, which is such a jargon of nonsense, whether it's the New York Times or the Corriere della Sera, it's the same blah, blah, blah talk. You know, it turns of words and word. Oh, you lose your mind.
But most of the time you translate official documents, like encyclicals, right? Encyclicals are not blah, blah, blah.
The trouble is they're written nowadays, they're written in Italian, and it depends on who the author of the Italian is. And the author of the Italian today could write blah, blah, blah very easily.
Encyclical, that's not a Latin word, is it?
No, enciclo means on the circuit in Greek.
In Greek, yeah.
So when the patriarchs would write a letter that would go around the circuit, it was a circular letter. And the fact is, in Latin, they used to say epistole circulares, which is very nice, which I even prefer to enciclicae. But now we're stuck with encyclicals.
And all these documents that you translate, that you and others translate into Latin, they're actually collected in a publication, aren't they? What's it called?
The Acta Apostolicae Sedis.
Which means?
Which are the acts or the documents of the Apostolic See.
Ciceronian translation?
Or well, the Sedis, of course, the See, the Sedis. Well, certainly all the words are Ciceronian. Apostolic is not Ciceronian.
You said that you like Cicero, that he's your model in the
language.
There's
a way he forms sentences. He expresses himself very nicely.
So what does Tacitus...
Well, Tacitus is a different man, where he's very, very brief and short and tight.
Like Hemingway.
Well, okay, I mean, he says very, very much in one or two words, and you're just about choke. Where Cicero will go on with beautiful phrases and nice stuff.
So who would you compare him to in English literature?
I'm really not that acquainted with English literature, I hate to say it. But that's it, you know, I mean, you have to say someone...
Like Shakespeare.
Well, Shakespeare is very abundant and with beautiful words, and someone else would be, you know, telegraphic. That would be Tacitus.
So I'm saying that Shakespeare is more Ciceronian.
I would say so, from the way he talks and all these adjectives and beautiful phrases. I just love Shakespeare. And the fact is, my students have to translate Shakespeare into Latin. Next week they're going to start that. Oh!
You've been listening to Latinist Professor Reginald Foster in a program presented and produced by Veronica Scaresbrick.